Dude, your show is so different. It's funny, man. Like, you know, your mom.
That. The transhumanist. Yeah. Well, see, people don't get that, too. People are, like, so mad. And I tell this to people, it's not even about my mom. It really has nothing to do with my mom. It's about making fun of the transhumanist movement and how people think that they can live forever if they upload their consciousness to a computer. And I love Elon Musk. I mean, I like what he did for Twitter a little bit, even though, I don't love Elon Musk. I'm still a little skeptical, but I like him. But he is leading the charge of transhumanism.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I don't like that. As humans, we're meant to die. I'm not saying we should all die today, but we're not supposed to live forever. Right. We're not vampires.
Yeah, we'll get into that. For me, I was like, dude, how is it? Like, Glenn Beck, he actually has a ranch out here in Idaho.
Yeah, he's here all the time.
But I just look at him like, dude, your show is so different, which is needed because you're reaching younger audiences. Like, I showed somebody one of your things and she's like, that's offensive. It was your thing over here. She's like, I don't like that. He's the guy that you booked. I said, yeah. And she's like, you could have paid me $1,000. I would have been the comedian. I said, and I would have come.
Yeah.
I would have been able to. We sold a record number of tickets. We've never sold this many tickets ever. It's an off election year.
Yep.
Wow. But we didn't even publicize it. No. A couple of tweets.
You know what it is we've had a lot of Californians move here and they're political refugees. So people, we've just been hitting.
So they're dialed in. They like want to get, you know.
Now this is going to be nothing like Cooper.
I know. That was nuts. See, that's, Lauren and I were talking about that. I mean, it was like 700. It felt like even 900. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It felt more than 700. Yeah. Well,
we're going to be right at 400.
That's still a ton.
Dude, that's for Canyon. We've never done that.
Wow.
Ever. So I do think if you come out in the mask, people are going to laugh about that. Yeah, come on. That's funny.
I bought him a box of chocolates to give to Julie.
She's not coming.
Oh, she's not?
No, Julie Yamamoto, my girl. But she's a rhino. But the thing is, she looked good in that one video that I posted.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Everyone underneath it was like
great. Everyone in Idaho was like, tell him to delete that. Delete
it. I know. Everybody would tell me that.
Bunch of people were like,
delete it. But
I'm like, whatever.
But it was also kind of funny, too, because it shows like her humility. But does she not have any humility?
No, here's the thing with her, man. She's actually, if you meet her, she's a nice person, but she's got that, she was a principal forever.
Yeah.
She's got that public school mentality where it's like, you know, the public school can do no wrong. The public libraries can do no wrong.
Yeah,
They've got good intentions, you know.
They're trying their best.
So that's her problem. But the other thing, the reason I immediately was like, we're hitting her next year was when Chris Traikle was running, right? And it's when we defeated Greg Cheney.
Mm.
Her and Greg Cheney went to the Calvary Chapel.
Oh, that's right.
And we're telling people, this candidate's a Christian. I don't think this one believes in Jesus. I would say don't vote for him.
They said he is a Christian, but that he doesn't believe in Jesus?
No, she would be like,
they were going for candidates.
Alex Stein is not a believer. I wouldn't vote for him.
Yamamoto was?
Yes. Yeah, like that's what she's doing.
At church, that's awesome.
Funny thing is Chris Traikle was my client. I was actually driving back from Texas. Or Colorado, one or the other. And I get a bunch of text messages because I was his GC. I was his general consultant. Like, dude, you need to get a hold of Chris and tell him to back off now. I'm like, what do you mean? And I call Chris. He's like, what's up, man? He's a Marine, right? Chris. You'll meet him tonight.
Chris. Oh, is he going to be there?
Yeah, he'll be there. He's like, what's up, man? And I was like, hey, I'm getting a whole bunch of calls saying you've gone off the deep. And he's like, no, I'm just outside of this church protesting. They're calling the cops. I said, wait a second. You're outside of a church
protesting?
Was it
on a Sunday or was it like not? Okay,
Saturday night.
It was a Saturday night kind of thing.
He's like, yeah, I'm telling them how wrong they are. They kicked me out of the church because they should not be letting these people say who believes in God and who doesn't. Yeah. They said that I don't and I go to church every Sunday, take my kids, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you're not getting trespassed, are you? He's like, no, these cops are right. So.
Did he get trespassed?
No. They tried to use that against him. Dude,
that you protesting his churches?
We kicked the crap out of his opponent. His opponent was a member of the House. Mm-hmm. He looks like Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, he was the incumbent.
They both ran for Senate.
Oh, okay.
So he was moving on up.
Moving up, okay.
But he was like confident he was going to win. He was sending out emails saying Caldwell Senator, the other guy. Like calling himself Caldwell Senator, yeah. And we just smoked him, man.
Yeah, Chris won. Chris is awesome.
But here's the thing, man. Her and her group are the most dangerous people in the state of Idaho.
I know, Lauren is nuts. Yeah,
this guy, she brought stuff up from his past. I was like, man, I wouldn't say it, but I'm glad somebody else said it.
Wounded 11 tours as a civilian. I mean, that's when you know she's insane.
I am definitely insane. Yeah,
I mean, that's hardcore.
Yeah. Not for the Ukraine. I'm not
no,
insane.
No, no,
no.
We love Vladimir Zelensky. This is the Vladimir Zelensky podcast.
Actually, yeah. He's a sponsor, but it's weird how it works. We actually pay him.
Yeah. That is so funny how that works out like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Are we going to have Leo's clip in here too? Are you going to clip
Leo
in?
Of course. Yeah.
The girl I'm staying with, her son, he's like autistic. He's like 8. Mm-hmm. And he did a fake Mike Lindell. He dressed up like Mike Lindell pillow. And he did our MyPillow commercial for it. It was so cute.
Does he see? Yeah, he probably watches all those. I wonder if Mike Lindell, I mean, obviously he's been hurting, but remember there used to be so many commercials? Now I don't, even though the Blaze were sponsored by him, so I see him there, but I just don't see hardly as many.
It's like Jack.
Yeah, he's on Tucker. He's on Tucker. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's Jack. People like that.
Oh,
and then
gosh,
we have him.
Yeah,
he's a sponsor.
Like I said, the
show.
Blaze sponsors. I mean, there used to be a time like you turn on the TV and it's always MyPillow ads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I kind of miss it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome back to the program. Guys, this is an exciting, exciting episode. And I'll tell you why. Number one, Lauren is here in person. So as you know, she lives in North Idaho. I live down here by the Capitol near Boise. So this is the first time we've actually ever been in studio recording, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
On top of that, I'm going to let you introduce our guest because this is awesome.
Oh, we've got this guy here. He flew in. I picked him up at the airport. Just some stranger, you know, Alex Stein.
Primetime 99, Alex Stein, guys. I'm with Josh and Lauren. We are here. We're going to go insane for the Ukraine and Idaho. We're going to, and Josh had a really funny joke. He said this podcast is sponsored by Vlad Zelensky, but it's a different type of sponsorship. We actually pay Vlad Zelensky for him to sponsor this. So we love you, Ukraine. Thank you for all the work you're doing.
Yeah. So, hey, man, we discovered you. Actually, I think you may have shown me Alex first. I don't know how long ago it was.
That makes sense because Lauren's crazy, so she would be liking my content. Now, I mean that with all due respect. I love Lauren, and I'm so happy I had, you know, got to hang out with Lauren last night for a little bit, and she was telling me about how she did, and I just said this before, 11 tours as a military contractor, not just the 8 years she did in the military. So I'm saying Lauren is way more badass than me. I hate that. I don't like being emasculated, Lauren. Because she said at one point it was 143 degrees in Iraq. Is that right?
Yeah, summertime.
Oof. 143 degrees?
Yep. On the pavement, daytime, summertime.
Wow.
I was in Balad.
Do people just die of heat exhaustion there?
No, they don't have like air conditioning, so they sleep on their roofs. Which,
heat
rises, but yeah, when you're over there, like, they're on their mud huts, or they're sleeping on the roofs of their houses.
With, like, a blanket on the roof?
I don't know, some had blankets.
Wait, what?
And they poop in their yards and stuff, yeah,
There's not even, like, a so hole? Deep. Wait, where do they poop? And they're just in the front yard? They just go there and take a dump? And it's just, did they, like... throw some dirt over it or anything? Because, like, when my dog Ginger poops, I had to clean up the poop so my neighbors don't yell. I'm sure, are there, like, doggy bags to pick up your own poop?
I had a friend who was doing a mission and said he saw a guy pick up his own poop and then wait for another dude coming down the hall, and he was, like, sneaking, and he literally threw the poop at him and then laughed and ran away.
Wait, I got to find this. There's a famous picture, too. That's disgusting. Where a military guy's taking a picture outside of the base and a random guy's pooping. Hold on. I got to find this picture. Guy pooping in background of military base. Let me see if it comes out. Oh, my gosh. That's so crazy. We learned so much stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to go, like, full Boise Library style in here, but there was some donkey stuff there, too. So.
No! Yes. What?
Yes.
What? They would sleep with animals? Or they're whatever, what is that called? Somebody that sleeps with an animal?
Bestiality?
Yeah, bestiality.
Yeah. What?
Saw a donkey, saw a cow. I was like, all right.
It's going to take me a second different. To find it. I'll send
take
it to
your,
you.
Yeah, take your time.
I'll send it to you. Maybe you can edit in, but there's a guy, he's pushing with his gun. In the background, it's like a Afghanistan guy. He's like taking a dump, holding a wall. And it's funny you say that. Wow. So they have a very free pooping policy. I might need to move to
Afghanistan. Not at 140 degrees.
Well, I'll just bring one of my window units. No, but on a serious note, too, is, you know, I'm an animal lover. And we know this, but the dogs in Afghanistan are nuts too, right?
Yes. They're everywhere. They're like rabbit, you know, they're kind of like in South America, same thing. They've got like packs of them and they just kind of wander.
Would you see one pack fight with another pack?
We have seen them fight, yeah.
Wow, that's hardcore. That's a lot different. What's the movie where they had spaghetti, where the two dogs had spaghetti?
Oh, Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, so it's So it's like, this is like a very scary Lady in the Tramp vibes.
Yes, yes. The moon was out, and, you know, and we were in infrared, and they were fighting kissing.
Can you imagine Lady and Tramp in Afghanistan? These two dogs are sharing this spaghetti, and all of a sudden there's a guy leaning over just crapping in the
background. Everywhere you go. And then let's think about this. So before we get into, you know, we're talking about Afghanistan, we need to talk about normal stuff, but we spent like $2 trillion there, and did we make it better at all in the Middle East?
We fought the Taliban for 20 years in Afghanistan to give it back to the Taliban. So.
I know, but I'm saying, like, did we even add anything to it? I know we gave it right back to them, but did we even add some more roads, maybe at least?
We did rebuilding. We had civil engineers there, but
so Joe Biden's like our reconstruction.
Well, I would. It wasn't under
infrastructure.
Biden.
I know it wasn't under Biden, but he would say that's good because we're doing infrastructure, right?
Yeah, sure. I guess they put a. I helped do missions where we were overwatching ballot movements in Iraq. It was the first time they'd ever had like balloted elections.
Oh, I'm sure that was a very safe. Yeah, well, there election. Was
bomb threats everywhere at all the poll stations, so we were having to overwatch everything, make sure it wasn't.
That's probably where they learned to do the mail-in ballot. Deal. No, I mean, that's another thing, and we can only say so much because we get kicked off the internet, but the CIA and the FBI, all these alphabet agencies, they've been doing elections in South America, Middle East. This isn't, they know how to make an election look a certain way.
Yeah, of course.
You know, this isn't the first time. And what was it, John Bolton, who said, oh, January 6th wasn't a coup. I know what a coup is. I do coups.
He's
like, I'm the coup expert. It's like, that's not, don't say that. We don't want you to say that. You're doing coups. I mean, that's the problem, too, is they always say the ends justify the means, and that's just the most evil thing ever. I mean, it's like they don't care about the collateral damage or the people that die along the way. It's just.
Well, and these are lessons. People should remember them because we're getting ready to enter another war. You know, we're torquing off the Russians, and they're not to be meddled with. Like,
no, if we couldn't beat the Taliban, Lauren, how are we going to beat China and Russia?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, people are just going to die. And I'm not even saying that China or Russia would beat us, but it would just be, we'd just be dying. Right. They'd be dying. We'd be dying. It's like the Taliban, whatever. They're still, we didn't end the Taliban.
No.
So
we gave them $55 billion in equipment.
Hey, you know what, though? I got to say, I saw a video that was pretty funny. And, you know, I don't know if it's actually funny, but to me, it was funny. It was a Taliban member trying to fly a helicopter.
Yeah, I saw that. They crashed it. Yeah, I saw that video. Forget about all the military equipment. This is what really makes you mad. If you watch the movie Charlie Wilson's War with Tom Hanks, it talks about how we actually funded the Mujahideen to fight against Russia. Yes. We were the one that gave them their anti-helicopter weapons. And then they end up using those weapons. I know they're antiquated by the time we went over there again, but they were using the weapons we gave them against us at the beginning of the war.
Well, at the end of Rocky, remember? They thanked them. Like,
and I'm just saying, that's what's going to happen now is Russia supposedly buying those weapons and artillery and stuff like that. And they're going to use it against us. Or if they haven't used it against Ukraine. Yeah. You're saying all these militaries, why are we just throwing it away, billions of dollars? Yet people can't even afford to fill up their gas tank right now. Everybody's struggling financially. And they just have trillions of dollars to give to the Middle East.
Eggs are $9 in Boise.
I know.
$9.
And this is why it's bad, though, is because everything has eggs in it, from an omelet to a cake. So that's what makes, obviously, we know basic inflation, but that causes everything else to go up.
Yeah.
I mean, restaurants now are just, I don't even know, restaurant business was already hard, but now I bet it's almost impossible. Unless you're like an established restaurant, I don't know how you can afford to even pay for the stupid eggs.
Increase prices.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
They did that. I actually went to Sherry's. I don't usually go out to eat.
Yeah.
But I went out for breakfast the other day. I was like, I'm going to grab some breakfast. I go in there. It was like, you know, their standard thing that usually was like $12.50.
Like two eggs, pancakes, sausage.
It was like $16.50.
Wow.
And I mean, their T-bone steak and eggs, which was usually like $16.99, was $24.99.
See, that's a lot. Yeah. The breakfast steak and eggs is now $25. But this sounds like a kind of a nicer place, like a mom and pop type place. So maybe they have to charge a little more. But even like,
Sherry's is like a Denny's.
It's Sherry's. Oh, it's just Denny's, Idaho Denny's. Much, yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't know. I don't know. I'm new to Idaho. But I love Denny's. I love IHOP. I love like Greasy Spoon diners. Those are some of my favorite places.
Yeah.
But now those people can't even afford to freaking, I mean, $24.99 for steak and eggs. It should be $17.99 max for steak and eggs. That should be, I want the government involved. I want less government and less it comes for breakfast prices. We should keep breakfast prices low. Keep the McDonald's, like the McDouble. It should have been a federal law. The McDouble should have never been more than a dollar.
That I agree.
And the McChicken.
I totally agree.
That's what I'm saying. Those two, and that's totally not even agree. For me because it's you're eating microplastics. You're eating the worst food in the world. But all these struggling families, there should be a place. And I mean this, as, like I'm saying this as a joke, but I'm surprised there isn't a government subsidized food place like a McDonald's or something because they want to they give us all the free vaccines. I'm surprised they don't give us like vaccinated chicken nuggets. You're like, oh, I love this. This is a government McDonald's. And I bet if there was a free place like a McDonald's where everybody could eat, I bet everybody would be going.
Or even just subsidizing part of it.
That's what I'm saying. If you just subsidize McDonald's.
I went to a store the other day and I saw a line. These guys set up this little booth thing, right? And as I walked out of the store, the line was bigger. So I asked them, I said, hey, what are you guys selling? Because a lot of people were interested. He's like, oh, it's we're not selling anything, but if you have any sort of assistance, you know, Medicaid, food stamps, anything like that, you get a free tablet.
So if you're on government assistance, I see that all the time. That's what happened with Obama. I mean, I'm telling you, so I was in the car business. Now I'm not in the car business, thank God, because I have a very good job at the place. But what I'm saying is being in the car business during the transition from Obama to Trump, it really hurt my business because in the Obama era, and this has actually hurt my business in a bad way, this is very kind of weird to say this. When the illegal immigration before Trump, there was tons of Hispanics buying trucks and stuff. It was really good. And then as soon as Trump became president, a lot of Hispanics, they're all afraid they're going to get deported. So my business went down a little bit. Yeah, kind of after that. So, but what's funny, then it kind of went back up when the economy started booming. But like right at the beginning of the Trump presidency, like, because Hispanics don't want to invest $10,000 in a car and might get deported or something. Right. So there was like kind of like a little, I remember at the beginning of the Trump presidency, I was kind of like, this is just going down, but then it went back up. But my whole point with that is the people that were working for me during the Obama era, there's two black guys that work there. And literally we joke about all the time that they're like, what has Obama done for the black? You know, what has Obama done for the black community? And literally they said, oh, he gave me a free cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Obama it. Phones. Yeah. Yeah. You say I'm poor. Here's a free cell phone. Oh, I'm on social services. Here's a free tablet. And you know, what's funny. It's like we were saying that tablet's probably watching you or there's something, you know, there's no such thing as Tin Stoffel. We learned that in economics. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as a free tablet. There's no such thing as a free vaccine. There's no such thing as free social media. Somewhere we are paying for this stuff somehow. And with the social media, we pay for it with our data.
Well, Snowden gave us the blueprint, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It's kind of I try not to get into it like too black-pilled and worry about the world, and I try to laugh. But then Josh gives me this book called It's Perfectly Normal that has literal cartoons of children not only having gay sex, but masturbating. I mean, this is the most disgusting thing. This is a book that shows a drawing of what seems to be, you know, whatever. I don't know. It doesn't look like an old person by any means. Their penis and then their erect penis. I just don't understand why you'd need this in a book that says for age 10 years old.
They actually, so for context, I didn't just say, hey man, I really like what you do, here's the book.
No, we've been exposing this. I mean, we spoke to the state legislator talking about how there is too much adult content in libraries. So this isn't our book club book, no way.
No, I think most people know that because that is, look, that's actually something that was used. It was checked out of the Meridian Library, if I remember correctly, if that was the one. That was one that was available for 4, 5, 6-year-olds.
Yeah, there's no age. You can get anything at the library. I mean, yeah, there's not, like a parent is with you too. So they're not going to say, oh, you can't check out that book.
Yeah.
There's no like limits like that.
One of the guys who came to testify the other day, he brought his daughter. She was 16?
Yeah.
She was 16. So she went to the library and she had checked out like 10 of those books and they brought them with them and they weren't able to testify.
Wow,
to Alex from Stein was reading a Bolivar testimony.
Oh yeah, my 2 minutes. But this is the other thing is no. When it comes to these books, when you go to the computer, and I was like, how am I even going to find any sexualization books? But when you type into the search engine, right? They have like an Eagle Public Library search engine. When you go there, their computer system, you can type by books that they have in there. And when you type in, like, let's type in gender, right? There might be in the whole library 300 books about gender because there's, you know, that's a subject that's in some adult books. But then you type in for pre-adolescence because there's, you know, you're allowed to, you know, pick different categories. And so you type in like gender, you type in the category for pre-adolescence and there's like 70 books about gender in the pre-adolescence section. It doesn't make sense. Why? I mean, why are we explaining that you can transition your sex to little kids when they can't even get a tattoo? I mean, they can't go to war. They can't, there's so much stuff a child can't do.
Yeah.
And I mean, we say this over and over. It gets almost kind of, you know, like a broken record.
It does. It really does. But look, man, at the end of the day, it's like, why is it still there? We've been screaming this. Mm-hmm. Why is our legislature trying to stop us from pulling this stuff? Like, let that be a parent's decision. It's just like, you know, with sex conversations in general. You have to give your consent in Idaho if you want your kid to have that discussion with sex ed.
Yeah.
Or maybe you want to have that conversation at home. And it should be as simple as that. It should be, leave it to the parents to decide what kind of material they want their kids to see when it comes to sexualization. Because look,
adult themes.
Yeah, because the thing is if you look at the kids nowadays, it's 22% are turning out homosexual or
I bet it's even more than that. I mean, I don't know.
It probably is.
I'm saying 20%. I think it's almost like 50-50. I hear stuff like 40% range. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, and it worries me how many of those kids are identifying that for clout or attention.
Exactly what
they're
it
like
is.
They're like gay for attention. That's what I'm saying. There
it's
are
trendy.
Kids.
And for clicks.
And we're all like around the same age. I remember girls in college like get drunk and make out. And like it wasn't, not that it was some great thing. It wasn't like all of a sudden she's a lesbian. Right.
Yeah.
Right? You know, now it's like these kids, if they even like the color pink, a boy likes color pink, they're like, all right, start wearing a dress.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's weird where this real concrete where you're, you know, everybody's gay and it's better to be gay than to be straight.
Well, it went up to, did we say, there's 20%.
No, I think it's 20, more. Yeah. I'm saying that's probably what they say, but yeah. I think it's actually even more that identify.
Which is so weird, because when I was in school, Alex, I just turned 36 on 27th. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I bought this
Big Booty Latina shirt. I love it. Josh is a real supporter right there. That's the first big BBL shirt I've seen out in the wild that I haven't given to somebody. So Josh is my number one supporter. I owe you for life. Not just, you know, including me in this event, but the merch, man. The merch.
This was.
Saying I see more of my Big Booty Latina merch than I see of Joe Biden merch. That should show you something. Why don't we ever see Joe Biden merch anywhere?
We got one of him sniffing Idaho. I have a.
Was it a shirt? Yeah,
it's actually on our website.
Yeah,
we sell
I need to buy that one.
If you look at the state of Idaho and how it's shaped, like his head fits so perfect that he's sniffing
in
Idaho.
Yeah,
Montana.
Yeah. I'll. It's on our website, rightwingmedia.us. But I'll make sure that you see it when Lauren's talking, I'll pull it up so you can see it and we'll put it up to where you guys can see it as well. But, you know, one thing I want to talk to you about as well is, like I said, you know, going back, I saw all your stuff that you were doing. It's like, man, this guy is hilarious. And the first time I heard about you was when you were trolling Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland.
Yeah.
My mother lives in Portland.
Oh, wow.
One of my brothers lives there and one of my sisters. And, you know, just the ridiculousness of what you were talking about. People were saying, dude, have you seen this guy?
Yeah, because I went in so I was an old El Camino and I went there with my dog and I had a bong and I talked about how awesome the drugs were in Portland. That video, Andy No shared it. You know, he had like a million Twitter followers. So that really kind of put me on the map, that Portland one. And then the best one I did, and that's when Ted Wheeler just called me, says, oh, you're the worst racist in the world. So I got a guy on Fiverr from Pakistan to basically shoot me a 2-minute video of him saying, I wrote him a script. It was like, we love Portland. We send all of our poppy heroin to Portland. They have very lenient laws. It's very easy to get it into Oregon.
That's so creative.
Thank you. Oh, and they were so mad. He's like, obviously this is fake and you're racist. This is racist. This is most racist. Like, you know, they always rate everything's racist. Everything's racist. But I don't know how that's really racist. Me saying that. See, that looks good. That actually fits his nose right there. Yeah, I mean, everything is racist today.
The one that really touched my heart was, well, there's two. Well, the first one was the Mayor Goodman one Vegas.
That's a big one. You know, and I'm actually going to end up kind of filing a lawsuit against her just because they cut me off from my time. But that I probably won't win. It's just more doing that just to be a pain in Mayor Goodman's ass. And actually, Mayor Goodman's actually pretty cool. And her husband was a longtime mayor, too. But the thing about the Las Vegas one is 50 Cent shared that. And that's it went so viral in every urban black Instagram page shared it, you know? So I was like in the black community, I was getting made fun of a lot, which is fine. They all was like, who is this gay boy sleeping with a transgender? You deserve it. They love that. Oh, they love to see me. And the people that think it's so real, that's what I love. So I'm so happy it went viral.
The other one that really struck me was the Crenshaw one because people don't understand. Like, oh, he's a veteran. You can't go after him. Like, no, Crenshaw is garbage. He's eye patch McCain. Like,
exactly.
He's trying to get us in wars in Ukraine. Like, done with that guy.
Yeah.
No, of course. We got to stop supporting Crenshaw. Guy. Like, he's almost worse than AOC, but it's different because this is why Crenshaw raises all the money. And you guys know this because you guys are fighting rhinos. Like, he's raising so much money. His stock portfolio is dominating. He's, like, doing everything that Nancy Pelosi was doing. So that's kind of like, what? He loves the military-industrial complex. But this is is just personally, I can't speak for him. But if you lose your eye in war that didn't really have a clear objective, and you still want to send more people to go lose their eye,
right?
It seems like he's selfish. Like, he wants other people to get hurt because he got hurt.
Or maybe he wants to write more books.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Or just get more funding from Halliburton or whatever. I would just think somebody that lost their eye would say, hey, war's not good. I mean, look at me, you know. And that's how a lot of people are. Like, General Flynn is like that. There's a lot of people that were in, you know, military that are like, war's a racket.
What is that?
I don't know. Sorry, guys.
It's like a Christian. No. Oh, what is this? Wow, we have a real military guy here.
Who is this guy?
Don't know.
Vladimir Zelensky has sent me on a special assignment.
To do what?
To bring an award to you today.
Well, I'm going to win an award. Wait, what? Finally, Vladimir Zelensky, I've done so much for you.
The Ukrainian Foreign Legion is extremely appreciative of your recruiting. The fight in Bakhmut would not be going well without your assistance.
Wow. I feel so honored.
I have good information for you as well.
Please.
Your wife.
She's with Dontarius right now.
And Zelensky.
What? Are they dating?
She is Les Sarnov.
What?
She is Les Sarnov, and Zelensky has taken an interest in her.
Well, now this isn't good, because Dontarius is going to get pissed. What is Dontarius? Have you talked to Dontarius about this? Dontarius has a record. Like, Vladimir Zelensky can mess with Putin all he wants. I would not mess with Dontarius Mitchell. He grew up in in Brooklyn, New York.
I am aware of your dream in Texas that you shared in front of the Veterans Commission, that if your wife would leave Sarnoff for Zelensky, that would make you the happiest man on this planet.
It would make me happier, yes. I mean, because Vladimir Zelensky, I kind of sometimes fantasize about him sleeping with my wife sometimes, because that's how I could support Ukraine the most, is by giving the person that I love the most to the country that I love the most, to the man that I love the most. So, yeah, I think that would be really, if my wife Darlene would do that, I would love it for Vladimir Zelensky to just stick his genitalia inside of hers.
I have a very special message,
please,
to you from Zelensky himself.
I'd like to hear it.
He would like to say, without your recruiting efforts, he would not be able to give the special issue that you see here that all officers receive.
A lot of money, gold. This is awesome.
This is part of the Ukrainian Foreign Legion uniform that is available because of you. And so I share with you some of the spoils of your work. Ukrainian gold.
Oh, wow. Look at this. This is real gold.
Ukrainian gold from America.
Wow. This is Ukrainian gold made in America.
We share. We share with you.
Wow. Yes, we can give a couple to the peasants.
Very generous.
Yes. We share with you.
Foreign Legion. We got enough. We got money in the bank, shorty. What you drank?
This special ward was created by Zelensky's family with Zelensky's children. And I am so privileged to bring it to you, to look you in the eye. He asked me to look you in the eye and say this to you. You are Zelensky's hero.
What?
You are his hero. You are his hero, because without you, this would not be possible.
Wow.
This is for liberation of Bakhmut.
Liberation of Bakhmut. Oh my God, look at this. Oh my God, this is incredible. Look, it's Vlad and Alex and oh my God, but there's no trans flag. It's only Ukrainian flag. You know, I'm transgender.
His children.
Can we send this back?
His children spent much time on this creation for you.
I know, but his children, they're not teaching him about gender ideology? Or is his children not familiar with, do they not know about gay pride?
I don't often.
I'm very honored.
I don't often like to speak of what we do behind enemy lines.
And there's no swastika for the Azov Battalion. I thought there'd be like a little swastika for Azov. No.
You have done much for the Azov Battalion.
I've done everything for the Azov Battalion. Everything I do for the Azov Battalion. They deserve our support. They deserve the support of the Jewish community, the Christian community, every community, the Muslim community, but especially the atheists. Oh, every community should respect the Azov Battalion.
Zelensky wants to know when you will grace him with your presence.
Well, hopefully very soon. I have a warrant for my arrest, so I can't travel out of the country. But once I get that warrant, I'll be honest, I defecated at a city council meeting. I thought it'd be so funny, and I actually took a public dump, and I'm facing a felony. What is it called? I forget the charge. I think it was decency or whatever, public decency, indecency in the public. So once I get that taken care of and I get that warrant lifted, I'll go to Warsaw. Do I fly into Warsaw, Poland, or do I fly straight into Ukraine? Where do I go?
Wherever you go, Zelensky will be there.
Wow, I'm going, baby. Primetime 99, we did it. We got our freaking Ukraine thing. Oh, my God, I love you, Vlad.
Can I hold on. I don't want to interrupt the celebration.
The award ceremony.
Did his kids really do that? Because I'm noticing a piece of paper over Zelensky's genitalia. It almost looks like maybe Zelensky made that and then somebody covered it.
Yeah, it does look like he had a little penis. I don't know why the little penis is covered.
The piece of paper is for you to take off when you have that home
alone. Oh, wow.
Zelensky has filled it with a very special surprise.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I hope he fills that surprise in my wife very soon, Darlene. And she would love to meet you, Vlad. So if you do show this to him, please let him know that we will both be there together when the time is right.
I will pass on.
Is this more money? Ukraine?
I will pass on your excitement. I will leave this with you to help with your travels. I must go. The battle for Bakhmut continues.
Yes, sir. Well, tell Vladimir Zelensky I love him. My wife will be very spread open for him. She will spread open for him wider than the Nord Stream pipeline. I mean, it'll be very wide. And his pipeline, his Nord Stream, will be healed by my wife's vaginal canal.
I will leave you with a very special message, please, from our countrymen. This is the national anthem of Ukraine, which is the shared national anthem of the United States of America. To Ukraine's liberation.
Thank you, sir. Wow, now that was
unexpected.
That was unexpected, but really enjoyed. I mean, listen, I have done a hell of a lot for the Ukrainian Foreign Legion. If you guys want to support the war in Ukraine and you just don't want to donate money or get vaccinated, the best way you can do that is by joining the Ukrainian Foreign Legion. And you, with just a very small deposit and your social security number and your mother's maiden name, you can sign up online at UkrainianForeignLegion.gay, and you go there and you're going to get signed up to go fight in the war. And you can be in the front lines within 72 hours. So I feel kind of, I'm almost speechless because I've been trying so hard to help all those unfortunate people in the Ukraine. And now I can tell it's finally paying off, literally.
What's happening, America? This is Mike Lindell with My Pillow, and I just woke up from the best sleep in my life ever using My Pillow. I have a large selection of products that are up to 66% off. Just use code WHA at checkout. It's a great time to try my pillows, pillowcases, robes, slippers, bath mats, dog beds, my Giza Dream bed sheets, and try the new delicious My Coffee. Dang, that's good. Don't forget coupon code WHA at checkout. God bless America.
Well, congrats.
Thank you. I'm taking this. I'm keeping this. This is my favorite thing. This is one of my best awards. I mean, this is way better than anything my probation officer ever given me. This is nice.
That's, yeah. So. Ukrainian colors looks great.
And the money, guys, come on. You know what they say? you know, what does it say? Green is for the money, gold is for the honey, but I got both. I got cash and gold. I love that. I love how he said that is authentic Ukrainian U.S. gold.
It's amazing.
It's great. Okay, well, dude, what the heck? I mean, I might need to go fly to Poland. I might have to leave. I may not be able to go to the event tonight because it looks like I might have to go fight the war in Ukraine, Josh.
Well, you could actually promote the war in Ukraine tonight.
Oh, at the event. Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll go to the event. I'll promote that I'm going to fight the battle in Ukraine. Hopefully recruit some people to come with us.
That'd be great.
That would be awesome.
Alex, I do want to shift gears, even though that is, I don't know how I'm going to top that.
This is the most important gear. Yeah, you can't shift this gear.
Well, I apologize. I'm going to try. I want to talk to you about Blaze Media. You just got a show because, like I say, the nice thing about you, and you already know this because you've been on podcasts and people tell you, you're reaching a new audience, which is super important. And the younger generation, like, they need to see, you know, something different because we've got a lot of the same old within conservatism and Republicans and all that. And you're reaching a new audience with comedy. How is that translated to The Blaze?
Well, okay, so it's so funny. You know, it's so funny we bring up The Blaze. They've been so, so great. But when I started creating content, right, you know, you're just independent, just like wanting people to watch my podcast. So there was like 2 years, you know, where like nobody watched my podcast. And then I did the Fauci ouchie thing and The Blaze. That video went so crazy. And that's when The Blaze first had me on as an in-studio guest. And they had me only on for this girl, Sarah Gonzalez. She's now like one of my best friends, but she was like, yeah, we're kind of worried to know how crazy we were. We just had me on for a segment. And like my one segment, I was like, anti-war and blah, blah, blah. You know, I hit him with all of the, you know, with the big talking points. Like, oh, wow, this kid's not just a dumb idiot, right? He can say something, even though I am a dumb idiot. So this is my point, is that when The Blaze, when they saw that, they're like, hey, you know, really, we talked for like 6 months about doing a show. And what we said was the show has to be different. It can't be normal. And the show's fluid. Like, we're still not fleshed out, like, what the show's going to look like because, you know, new people work on it. I'm working on it. But my point is with The Blaze is I can't tell you how much they want to incubate me or try to give me as much creative freedom as possible. That's what I'm trying to say, Josh, is that The Blaze, people are like, oh, Daily Wire, this and that. You know, Ben Shapiro was loving the vaccine, you know. The Blaze, anti-vax, actually exposed all the other media companies that took vaccine money. So I'm not saying The Blaze is just the most perfect place in the world. I love it. It's the most perfect place to me. But I know the people at home, they're like, you know, this is the biggest complaint I get since I signed with The Blaze, and I love it. And I love Glenn Beck. But everyone's like, you like Glenn Beck. You work for Glenn Beck. He did the Cheeto face thing, right? You remember when he did the Cheeto face? Okay, but this is what I always say. This is why I love it. I would bring up the Cheeto face thing. That triggered so many people, right? And that's what it's about, good content. Now, I don't want to necessarily trigger Trump fans, but it's like people can't see the forest or the trees. They can't realize, like, that's the kind of creative mindset that they want me to have. So that's why I use that example. I'm kind of like the Cheeto face guy now, you know? Glenn doesn't have to be. So with all that being said, it's like, you know, you do these stupid bits and, you know, some stick and some don't. That one sticks. So that's kind of my job is I'm going to be the comedic relief of The Blaze, and they've given me, you know, total carte blanche, as I say, to do whatever I want. And that's what I freaking love because the show doesn't need to be serious. I watch Tucker, you know, almost every night. I'm sure you guys watch Tucker and stuff. And Fox News, you watch this, you almost leave. And just talking to you guys, it's very black-pilled. It's hard to watch TV and not get really sad and depressed.
It is.
You know? So that's what I try to do. And obviously, you guys are using humor. So we have to make fun of this stuff. We can't just, you know, be like, oh, you know, doom and gloom, my life is over. Because really and truly, our life is not that bad. I mean, could our lives be better? Of course. We always have room for improvement. But the fact that we're alive, we're not in wheelchairs, and there's people in wheelchairs that have good lives, but we have so much stuff to be thankful for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have so much. Even as bad as things are, even if you're broke and you know, as long as you're still alive, as long as you're breathing, you have a chance. They try to get you in this mindset that your life doesn't matter. And I talk about this all the time. I think the biggest lie, and this is why I like The Blaze, because, you know, it is started by, you know, Glenn Beck, who's a Christian, he's a Mormon, but the idea that they hide the creator and make you feel like you're just some sort of cosmic accident, that just two rocks smashed together billions of years ago, and that you just evolved from pond scum. And the reason why they do that is because they don't want you to have any sort of moral compass, they don't want you to have any sort of, like, you know, punishment for, or whatever, you don't have to pay for your immoral actions. And so it breeds more immorality because kids don't realize it. Nothing matters. So I think that's the biggest thing is, like, with my show and The Blaze, is like, I want to try to make people laugh. I don't want to give them the trauma-based mind control. And I kind of want people to realize that, like, life is beautiful and special, and there's a creator, and there's a God, and that this is not just some sort of accident. This is not, you know, we are so lucky. At one point, for us to be here, we had to have 8,000 grandparents. That's how many we've had. That's even crazy. More than, I'm just saying, and they all had to have sex. Oh, everything had to happen at the exact same time. You had to be delivered. You didn't die during delivery. Your great, great, great grandparents. So just that, we've already won the lottery of life. People don't get that. That's why people don't want to laugh. That's why people don't want to have fun. They just want to be depressed, and misery loves company. So I want to be the opposite of misery loves company. I want to be happiness, whatever. Misery loves company, happiness hates. I don't know. I don't know an anecdote to that, but I just don't want to be a place where people just go to get sad. I want to try to make people laugh.
Well, to be born in America, like it's, what, wasn't it one in a million or something? Just to be born in America.
Yeah.
And then you're here and you live this life. Like people don't know what it's like overseas. People don't know what it's like. Poverty in other countries.
And I know you guys like tease about Idaho, but I know this place is beautiful. It's, I mean, I would love to be living in Idaho. I mean, this, I mean, compared to 95% of the rest of the world, everybody thinks, oh, I want to live in like San Francisco or LA. It's like, yeah, right. I'd rather be in Idaho with a bunch of land where it's pretty. I mean, I'm sure it's cold sometimes, but this place is so nice, and we take it for granted. We often take it for granted in life. We don't have enough gratitude.
Well, right, first world problems, right? Like, yeah. Oh, they misgendered me. Like, do you know how retarded you sound to somebody who can't get food that night, or you know, or is living, you know, in a burqa and being abused, or something? Do you know how silly you sound? Like, it just drives me nuts.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, we could have it so much different, and that's why, you know, we got to have just a little bit of, I don't know. This is the, we talk about the gender and the sexualization of kids. That's a first world problem too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, so because our life is good, then we get these new weird problems where like wealthy elite type people like want like sexualized children. So I don't know. I can see, and I'm so pro America. I always say this. I love America. I support the troops, support each and every man in the troops, each woman and man in a uniform. But this is what I don't like. I don't like that we're the world police and that we're basically leading the charge of the new world order.
Yeah.
That's what I hate too. You know, I love America, but I hate that we did all the COVID stuff. The world shut down.
Yep.
Because we shut down.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I do want to add to your point as well, you know, as far as this being first world problems, we work in the, you know, in the political scene, and so do you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right. And it is easy for us to get caught up in the losses that we have.
Yeah.
The thing I love about your show, and I've seen every single one except for the one that just aired. The thing I love is that it is ridiculous.
It's supposed to be absurd.
For somebody who is like, you know, we just had some defeats in at the Capitol here.
Yeah.
You know, we've got not a lot to look forward to, you know, in D.C. Unplugging from that for a minute and just watching something that's ridiculous and funny, but still in our realm that interests us is... Dude, it's phenomenal. And well, that's why I bought this shirt.
You're being too nice, but this is what we have to do. And what is Jenny Yamamoto, what's her name?
Julie
Yamamoto. This is what they don't realize is that we have to mock these politicians. And my favorite thing, listen, I love getting likes and subscribers. I'm not going to lie. I love having people watching my stuff. But I always say this. My favorite thing is when somebody's like, because you made a stupid video speaking at city council, I went and I spoke at a city council.
Yeah.
And so that's what I try to tell people to do. It's like, we got to go speak up for ourselves. And you guys are doing it. You guys are fighting. But that's the only way. It's like, I can't speak up for you. Josh can't speak for you. Lauren can't speak for you. You have to speak for yourself. So I love the fact that we're kind of encouraging people to go and do something, be proactive, instead of just letting our world just turn to crap.
Yeah. Well, promo, we have a legislature site with all of the bills listed. Go find something that interests you. Read the bill.
Go speak on it.
Sign up for testimony. Zoom in, please.
You can literally do it from your couch. Yes. I mean, people don't realize this. Please. You can get involved, and it makes you feel good when you speak. Like I don't know. It's not about virtue signaling, because I don't want a virtue signal. I don't really necessarily do my stuff to necessarily virtue signal. I mean, some of the stuff with the kids stuff, I kind of feel like that's virtuous, because we're stopping the sexualization of children. But everything else, I'm telling like poop jokes and making fun of Vladimir Zelensky. Like, I think like it's almost mandatory that we mock these stuff. And that's what sucks about the mainstream media, is like SNL is not going to make fun of the absurdness of the Ukraine war. And I think SNL, one of their biggest sketches was when they kind of poked fun at how crazy the pandemic lockdown was, you know, some of the stuff that they made us do. So it just sucks. Like I'm just filling a void, making fun of the stuff that like the mainstream media won't really make fun of.
Yeah. And if you don't have the gusto that Alex has to do it in person, feel free to go to emailidaho.com.
Yeah, and email.
Find your states. Figure out where you can email all your legislators.
Mm-hmm. And you nailed it, Lauren. You guys do an email, do something, because public speaking is some people's biggest fears. You know, like literally it ranks up there with like arachnophobia and dying, I believe. So I get it. You don't want to go speak up. You're kind of nervous, but you should do something. You should send an email. You should be proactive. Or if you care, if you don't care and you're just oblivious and ignorant, I'm kind of jealous. Ignorance is kind of bliss.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I mean, but then I was talking, not trying to name drop. I was on Glenn's show yesterday, and Glenn asked me if you could take a blue pill and go back and plug back in, would you do it? And I said, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't plug back in. But the sad reality is that most people are under that, you know, or swallow that blue pill and just worried about paying their bills and just want to do whatever the status quo or whatever the television tells us. So until we actually change that mindset, we're going to have an uphill battle. But this is where I actually have hope. Is that I believe all of these old media companies are going to die soon. Like, they'll always exist, but they're not going to have the power. You know, people, you look at CNN's engagement on their Twitter, it's not very good. I know, and their ratings are bad. We're now in the very near future, advertisers are going to realize, hey, look, I'd rather advertise on a podcast that has 2,000 loyal fans than pay millions of dollars for to advertise on a show that nobody is going to even listen to the broadcaster. So I just think there's going to be a new era of digital media. And we're going to be the independent content creators that are going to be on the forefront of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, do you have any last questions?
No, Alex is wonderful. And if you didn't know this, in real life, he actually has a baby face.
Like, I do. I have a baby face. I've got totally a baby, everything.
Like, you can't really tell on the camera, but like in real life, he's adorable.
Okay, you're being too nice. But I'm really excited. I'm going to have to get a little house in Idaho myself now. I come do here it. So much.
North.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, yeah, she's 100% right. If I could... Look, if so, I'm a state committeeman for Kanye County.
Yeah.
If I wasn't involved like I am, if I didn't need to be at the
you'd go to Kootenai County.
I would 100% move to Kootenai. So
Kootenai,
as much as you know, I would rather you be down here so you can access the Capitol. For everybody who wants to look at Idaho, go to Kootenai.
It's yeah, because so why is that? At the Hilton Hotel is a beautiful hotel. I mean, you know, Hilton Garden Inn is very nice. But there's all these Kootenai posters, and I was like, "Are we're not in Kootenai County."
Yeah.
But I guess because it's just scenery, like there was, you know, showing famous pictures of Idaho, and it'd be like Kootenai County, Kootenai County.
That's where everybody goes. That's where like Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, all them
Mark
go.
Mark Wahlberg's got a house in Beauty Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, Idaho is like a secret. I mean, it's not a huge secret because there's so many celebrity stuff that move here, but it's just very clean, nice. There's no homeless people. It's kind of...
You mean Idaho's terrible. Don't come here ever. Don't come Please here. Don't come here.
Well, but Josh, are the California people coming? Because in Texas, dude, this is the problem in Dallas, is that we have Plano, Irving. I mean, you're familiar. Your dad lives near. So what happened in Texas, it's called the Silicon Prairie, where Texas Instruments, you know, the calculator company, and then Dell Computers. Michael Dell, like, in the 80s, they wanted to make Dallas kind of like the other Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of, because of California's gone insane, so many companies now, Toyota, AT&T, have made their headquarters in Dallas, that it's become the Silicon Prairie that they wanted it. Now it's really kind of like, this has been the plan for 20 years, and now it's really coming to fruition. And because of that, now we're getting all the liberals. Like, it seems like here you might get California refugees that kind of don't like the vibes in California, so they want to be more conservative here. Unlike the people that are moving, it's the opposite. It's like, you know, they're just coming here for work. So now they really, and they're all wealthy and they're all in the nice neighborhoods and they want to infect us with their like weird cultural Marxism.
We get the fighters.
Yeah.
The people who move here, man, I tell people all the time, I say Californians are going to save Idaho. Because
you think? See, I think Californians are going to kill Dallas or kill Texas.
Because you guys have Tesla. People are moving there for work. People are moving here for freedom.
For freedom, yeah.
They moved here because of COVID policies.
Yeah.
They looked at us and they saw, wait a second, we need to go there. But the thing is, and when they got here, they thought, okay, we're safe. But then they saw, wait a second, there's a mom getting arrested for taking her kid to a park. There's a guy singing praise worship music in Moscow, Idaho, that got arrested, who's a pastor.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, there's we
Dallas, that was a big deal. This Shelley Luther got arrested for keeping her hair salon open.
Yeah.
That was like the biggest deal. But no, you're right. People come from go from California to Idaho for freedom, and they go to Texas from California for work. And because of that, they have like money, power, and they want to just infect us with all their weird liberal ideologies.
You've got to get that Meta facility stopped in Kuna.
Yeah. So I was born in
Texas.
Are they
building a Meta facility out here?
Yeah. And it's going to use a lot of our natural resources, our water.
What, to cool water down the servers or something?
Yeah.
You know, but this is one thing, is, I mean, huge factory, That's like one, I mean, I don't know. It might be one meta thing.
They promised a lot of jobs, and it turned out there's not a lot.
That's the thing. I figured there's probably not even that many jobs. How many work in the factory? Like 200 people, maybe? Yeah, so.
I doubt if they're even going to have that many.
Oh, really?
It's bad. Yeah, like they sold Idaho a bad bag of goods.
Yeah, they said, oh, we're going to bring in all this money, tech, and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. I was born in Texas. I was born in Henderson. Probably never heard
of it. Yeah, never heard of the Henderson,
but
Texas.
Our family all lived in Garland, which is right outside.
Yeah, right next to me. Yeah, yeah.
I remember thinking.
Did you go to high school in Garland?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was a military brat. I was all over the place.
You're all over, yeah.
But for me, I was like, when I would even drive through and visit family there, like when we lived in North Carolina, the one reoccurring theme that I saw was like, do you remember that JR's plumbing that was on the side of the road?
Yes.
There's stuff like that, JR's and JW And the one thing I notice is I think my dad took a lot of inspiration from growing up in Garland and Dallas area.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got names that sound like they could be a plumber or mechanic. And my dad named my brother John Robert, me Joshua Wayne. So JR, JW.
Oh, wow. JR's huge. Yeah, but that's the show Dallas. Everybody loved the name JR. That's like one of the most popular names. I'm trying to think. There's other that. Who Mike Judge, I believe, is from Garland.
Yeah.
The guy that wrote Beavis and Butthead. And so... I don't know. I love Dallas. I love Texas, but I hate to see kind of the direction that it's going. And I think Idaho, like I said, this is more conservative than Dallas for sure.
100%.
We're trying to keep it conservative. We got to whip the rhinos into shape. Yep.
And it's like we don't even need to be like so far conservative. It's like we need to protect our kids. We need to have like family moral values. That's the problem. Yeah. We have no like morality. Like I think that's what the left does is because somebody's a different political ideology. We just got to hate them. And Lauren, I know you're vicious. You kind of do go after the people, but I think there needs to be ways like we can't they use this called Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, this book kind of like how to be crazy, and I think that we have to mock them, we have to come down to their level, but at the same time it's like we still have to love one another. It sounds so anecdotal and kumbaya, but those people hate you because you don't want to get vaccinated. We shouldn't hate somebody because they got vaccinated,
if that makes sense. Well, Alex, could we have you on another time virtually?
Please. Oh, yeah, for
because
sure.
We have an event
I'll
we got to get
you guys on
to.
My show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'd love it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, oh, I would love it.
Yeah, I'll get you guys on. Yeah, you guys can zoom in for sure.
Maybe we can track down that soldier for you again.
Yes, please. That's what I need, Vladimir Zelensky. If you can get that soldier in here. No, we'll do it soon. Yeah. We'll make it happen. Well, all right. I love the podcast. It's been a great episode with Primetime 99 Alex Sen on the Grand all the time.
Perfect. Alex, thank you so much for coming in. Guys, make sure to subscribe if you're not. Make sure to leave a comment. Let Alex know that you appreciate him coming on and coming to Idaho now twice. And other than that, we'll talk to you guys later.
Or talk smack. We love the haters,
talk
too.
Talk smack, too.
Yeah, leave a comment. We don't care.
All right, everybody. Take care.